Merciful and gracious God greets us this morning with these words. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Good morning and welcome to LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. Whether you're worshiping with us here in person or through our live stream, we're glad you're here this morning. We extend a special welcome to the 2024 Serve Team. They have come from all over the country, including from the Upper Peninsula, Minnesota, Iowa, and right here in West Michigan. We have about 77 participants here, and we're so glad that you are joining us here in Grand Rapids for the week. As is tradition, the fellowship committee will be serving Klondike bars after the morning service so that the congregation, you all have a time to greet and meet our serve team. So unless it starts to rain during this time, the hope is that that will be outside. So after church, you can go out the two narthex doors and meet out in the yard area. And if the weather changes in the meantime, we'll figure it out at the end of the service, so stay tuned. But we hope that you'll stick around and meet some of the serve team this morning. There are no district coffees this week, so that everyone has a chance to participate in Klondikes. We will resume those next week with District 6. The theme for Serve this year is Fill Your Cup, and it focuses on how we are called to fill our lives with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For many of us, this list of fruits is not very new, and yet the task of exhibiting these fruits to one another in our daily lives continues to be a challenge presented to us because we're sinful people. We don't always do it right. The only way we can bear good fruit is by remaining in God, or in other words, by aligning our hearts and minds to Him. John writes about remaining in God by using the imagery of the vine and the branches. As you hear these words from John 15, think about your own life. In what areas of your life is it easy to bear the fruit of the Spirit? In what areas of your life is it more of a challenge? Hear these words now. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Please join me in the prayer of confession written in your bulletin. Almighty God, for the times we have acted without love, have mercy on us. For the times we have failed to forgive others, have mercy on us. For the times we have been unkind and unfaithful, bearing bad fruit, have mercy on us. While we may act without love and bear bad fruit, God, through the death of his Son Jesus, reconciles us to him and invites us to remain in him. Hear these words from Romans 5, assuring us of God's love and grace. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
this time, we will be commissioning the 2024 Serve Team. This will mainly be a dialogue between you, congregation, and our Serve Team participants. You can see that printed in your bulletin. As we gather here today to worship God, this family of God wants to encourage and support you, the Serve Team, as you begin a week of service in Christ's name. This week, you will be challenged to examine yourself through the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Amen.
Church and our community, thank you for your willingness to serve and promise you our prayers and support. We commission you to go with the blessing of the fruit of the Spirit to make a difference in our community and throughout the world. please join me in prayer. Dear God, will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. Lord, this is our prayer this week for ourselves, but more importantly, for our serve team. We pray that in our work, in our play, in our interactions with those we know and those we don't know, that we may be open to serving one another and to being served. We thank you, Lord, for the arrival of the serve team. We have been eagerly awaiting them and are excited that they are finally here. Thank you for the preparation over the last few months by the host team and for the generous donations by the congregation. Thank you for the many people who have signed up to serve food, clean towels, walk security, and any other jobs that need to be done to make serve happen. We pray our serve team may feel your spirit moving in their hearts, encouraging them to be examples of the fruit of the Spirit in the things they say and do. And when they don't know how to do that, Lord, may they turn to your Son, Jesus, as their example for how to live. While we eagerly anticipate this coming week, we think back to this past week. We thank you for the baptisms of Liliana Locke and Louis Vineerden, which we celebrated last Sunday. We thank you for the laughter and joy of another spa day this past Tuesday. Thank you that people could get out of the heat for a bit and share a meal together. We continue to pray for Jeannie and Jim Vandenberg, Tim Volink, Helen Wensheimer, and Bob Poole. Be with them as they all continue to battle with different health concerns. And Lord, we are especially mindful of this past week and the meeting of Synod. There are mixed feelings after this past week. For some, there is a spirit of thankfulness, and so we do say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the long history of the Christian Reformed Church and your care for our denomination over so many years. Thank you for the gifts of both careful theology and warm-hearted ministry that have been characteristic of the Christian Reformed Church for so long. While some are feeling thankful, others, Lord, are troubled by the decisions of this past week. May those people feel your peace and presence as they wrestle with the outcomes of this past week. And may we remember, Lord, that while there are mixed feelings amidst our denomination as a whole, so too are there mixed feelings in our own community here at LaGrave. We are all thankful, Lord, for LaGrave and your faithfulness to our church for over a century. We thank you for placing us here in Grand Rapids and calling us to be in the city and under the cross. We pray that you give us wisdom as we walk together as a community of people with different experiences, opinions, and feelings. May we live out the hymn we just sang in the days ahead. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. Amen. children. Come on forward for the children's message. And I'm actually going to invite a friend up as well. Pastor Aaron's going to join us too, which will be fun and exciting. Hello. Good morning. All right. What a good crowd on this June Sunday. Hello. All right, Grant, you want to scooch over here so Pastor Aaron can sit next to you? There you go. Perfect. All right. Well, good morning and welcome. So this morning we have some very special guests, and they're all wearing these fancy t-shirts that say, "Fill your cup." Do you want to take a look and wave to them and say hi? I bet they'll wave back. Yeah. So these are some of our high school students, and they've come from all over. People from Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa. You probably don't know where those places are, but someday you will. And they've come to visit us here in Grand Rapids so that we can do some service projects. Raise your hand if you've ever helped, like, mom and dad around the house with something, like cleaning or vacuuming. Yeah, that's kind of like a service project. You're helping them do something. Well, all of these big kids out here are going to go out into our community and meet some new people and help them with different projects this week, such as gardening, maybe making some dog biscuits, potentially kids' food basket, packing lunches and stuff, and different tasks like that. And they do that because it's a way that they're able to show God to other people in their actions. And so today, we're going to talk a little bit more about our theme of the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to have Pastor Aaron share with you a little bit about fruit.
Oh, good morning. So I have a question for you, okay? What do I need to do if I want to grow an apple? What do I need to plant?
A tree.
A tree? What kind of tree? An apple tree, okay. What if I want to grow some bananas? What kind of tree do I need to plant? A banana tree. Okay, you're catching on. How about an orange? What if I want to grow an orange? An orange tree. What do you think? Could I grow a lollipop tree if I planted a lollipop? Maybe. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, so what we're learning here is that if I want an apple, I need to plant a tree that's going to grow apples. And the same is true for us in our hearts. When you're baptized, God begins the work of seed planting. And God puts all of these little seeds into your heart. He says, "You are mine, and I'm planting love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control." And so when we are baptized, we have those seeds put in us, each of us. And the more time we spend with God when we're at, maybe you're at school or you're at home, when you're at church, those seeds grow. And what did we just learn? If you plant an apple tree, you're going to get an apple. So when God plants those seeds, if God plants a seed of patience, that grows into patience. And so when you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, you're going to have some patience because God is growing that in you. And when you're scared, you're nervous, you're going to have some peace because God is growing that in you. When you're hurt and you're sad and someone was unkind to you, you will have kindness because God is growing that kindness in you. And all of these things, these seeds that grow in our hearts, come from the Holy Spirit, because at your baptism, God has given you the biggest gift, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's another thing planted in your heart, and that's going to grow. Oh, Clara.
I got an owie just yesterday.
Oh, an owie, yep. And our bodies are amazing. It's going to grow, and it's going to heal up so fast. But we'll remember you in our prayers. So when we get the Holy Spirit planted in us at our baptism, it grows. And these things we're talking about, love and joy, those are fruits of the Spirit. So it's kind of like God said, I love you and you're mine and I'm going to grow these fruits in you. And these fruits are going to come from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to plant a Holy Spirit seed in you and it's going to grow into all of these things that show people that you're mine. And that's our story for today. That's what I wanted to tell you. So, family of God, what is our prayer for these children?
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Have a good morning.
It is a profound and humbling privilege and honor to get to open God's Word with you on this Serve Sunday. I have to be honest, I was sitting in that big chair over there, a little bit nervous. But then I looked out at your faces, and I realized you're the people I love. You're my family. And I get to talk to you about the Jesus I love. I mean, what could be better than that? So this morning, we're going to look at a portion of scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. That's found on page 1815 in your pew Bibles. But before I read that, what I would like to do is to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to hear these words with new ears, new heart, new mind. I'm not going to be telling you anything new. These are very foundational truths. These are verses we've memorized. These are things we know. But sometimes in our humanity, when we live with so much grace, and many of you do not know what it's like to be outside of grace, you were prayed for before you were born. When you got born, you were baptized, and you received the sign and seal of God's grace and love over you. You don't know what it's like to be outside of grace, and you can start to take that for granted. I remember we used to live in San Diego, California, and every single day in San Diego, it's 75 degrees and sunny, every single day. Being a weather forecaster in San Diego has to be the most boring job on the planet. Did I appreciate it? No. And then we moved here to Michigan in January. Not our best choice. And I didn't see the sun for a number of months. And it was not 75 degrees. And now when I see the sun come out, my heart is filled with such gratitude. And so it's the same way with grace. And so that's my prayer. Like I say, you're not going to learn anything new, but I pray that when we leave this place today, our hearts will be filled with such awe and wonder, that wonder of a child. I have a 2-year-old great-grandson, and the world to him is this whoa kind of a place. I mean, a stick is something that's absolutely fantastic. It can be just anything. And we lose that sense of awe and wonder. So my prayer for us today is that the Holy Spirit will fill all of us with a renewed sense of appreciation, of wonder, of worship for the incredible grace that God has poured into our lives. So with that, let's turn to His Word, Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you were followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love, I swear to read that again. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. So as I was seeking God's face and trying to figure out what message He would have me bring to you this morning, I kept coming back to this passage and to remember that we need to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot do it in our own light. And so I realized that there's no way in a 20-minute message, don't time me, okay? In a 20-minute message, I could talk about all the fruit of the Spirit. So what am I going to talk about? And so the question kept coming to me, why is it important that we fill ourselves with these fruit of the Spirit? And one of the answers to that, I think, is found in verse 10. And we will explore that a little bit in depth in just a moment. But as I spent time in there dwelling in that word, I was overwhelmed again at how, and this is good Calvin catechism, how great is our sin and misery, and how great is the grace of God. So as we begin looking at this passage, I'd like for us to just briefly compare verses 1 through 3 that talk about our natural state and who we are outside of Christ, and then look at all the, again, very well known, but absolutely amazing gifts of grace that we have because of God's grace, God's love, and God's mercy. So first, Paul begins with just a good Calvinistic beginning. How great is our sin and misery? Well, he starts right out in verse 1, you're dead. You're absolutely dead. And the reason for your death is because you have made a choice. And your choice was to follow the ways of the flesh, to follow the natural man, to follow sin, to live for yourself, to listen to the evil one, and not to follow God. And you have absolutely no hope. You can't do anything to get out of it. And worse yet, you deserve God's wrath. You deserve condemnation. You are outside of Christ, where sin reigns. And so sin then reigns in the life of a person who is without Christ. That's the truth. It is, and if that's where we stop, that's hopeless. That should just leave us almost shaking with fear, because if it is so overwhelming. Like, say, some of you have never lived outside of grace. You don't know what it's like, but I was raised outside of grace. And I know the darkness, and I know the hopelessness of it, and I know the pain that comes with not having anywhere to turn, nobody to love you. But then, in verse 4, I just love that little three-letter word, but. But God. But God made a choice. While we were walking away from him, not wanting to have anything to do with him, as was said earlier, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So verse 4 reminds us that if we had just stopped at verse 3, that would be a place of hopelessness. But Paul doesn't stop there. God doesn't stop there. And consequently, we don't stop there. For God has made a choice. His choice was to lavish his love on us, his grace, his mercy, to people who didn't even want it, people who were turning their back on him. That was God's choice. And he wants to, and we're so undeserving. Just let that sink in for a minute, how undeserving we are. And yet God still chooses to do that for us. And the result of God's gift of grace and love and mercy is that he has made us alive in Christ. We have come alive, and we can live because he lives. Try to imagine what it would be like to know that you have a terminal diagnosis, and the doctors tell you there is nothing we can do, and you've just got months to live. Nothing we can do, and you're going to die. But 2 weeks later, you come back, and you get some more tests, and he goes, your cancer's gone. You can live again. Try to imagine that kind of joy, even magnified, to know that were dead, were hopeless, outside of Christ, and then God comes to you and he says, here's my grace, and you now are alive in Christ. I love what Calvin says. He says, there's no other life than that which is breathed into us by Christ, so that we begin to live only when we are engrafted into him and enjoy the same life with him. We live because he lives. And again, God did all of this while we were still sinners with no hope. And then it just, as my friend says, it just gets gooder and gooder. In verse 6, not only do we now have this new life in Christ, not only have we been saved from the darkness and hopelessness of our natural self, but he's going to raise us up to sit with Christ in the heavenly realms. Can you just imagine how great and glorious that is? I remember when my husband was dying. And shortly before he died, it was the day he died. And he died of pulmonary fibrosis. He could not breathe very well. His lungs had been destroyed. And about noon that day, well, in the morning, when I walked into his room, he had this big smile on his face. And he said to me, "I'm going home today." He said, "My eyesight is going. I can feel my system shutting down. I'm going home." And his breathing got more and more labored. And at noon, the doctor said, "We may as well take the oxygen off. It's not doing any good." And I couldn't do it. So the nurse came in. She took it off. She kissed him on the cheek. And she said, "You can go home now." For another hour, he struggled to breathe. The breaths got longer between and more shallow. And at 1 o'clock, on September 16, 2011, my husband opened his eyes. He looked at me and he goes, "He's really here." And he died. There was not one nanosecond that he was outside of God's grace and God's presence. We will, and then, not only that, but he was ushered by Jesus himself into the presence of God, seated at the right hand of God. People, that should just, as my dad used to say, that should make you want to vibrate and break out in a rash. It is just so exciting. Why do we take it for granted? Why are we so hesitant to share this incredibly good news? The future's not scary, no matter what it holds. I got to be honest with you, I'm not afraid to die. Because I know that moment when my last breath is gone, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to see God, and the glory of eternity is going to be so much more than anything we can imagine. Oh, it just makes me want to fall on my face before God and just love him and worship him. Oh, Lord, may we not take that incredible grace for granted. And then, as I said, it just gets gooder and gooder. So now we've got this grace living with us. We've got this incredible promise. And then he says he wants, God did all of this so that his grace could be known into future generations. Once we are in Christ, we become conduits. I don't know much about electricity, but I know a conduit is an empty tube. And the wires that hold the electricity fly through that empty tube. We're the conduits. And then that grace of God comes and flows through us and out to other people. That's what's so exciting for you guys. You're going to be conduits all over Grand Rapids. You're going to be spreading grace everywhere. And people are going to be blessed because you're here. Because you've been obedient. That's so exciting. And I'm really happy for you. And we just want to fall down and worship him. And then we get to that beautiful verse, the very foundational verse, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast." By grace, through faith. Even the faith is a gift from God. Just everything. It's grace, grace, and more grace. Our former pastor, Jake Eppinger, used to say, "It's all grace." And he was right. And how amazing. And so, and that brings us then to this place is, Calvin also says that we can be empty. The faith brings a man to God that he may be filled. Let me just start one more time. I get so excited, I get ahead of myself. Faith brings a man empty to God so that he may be filled with the blessings of Christ. So in humility and in gratitude and in faith, we come into the presence of God and then he fills us up. And the grace flows. And the kingdom is built, and people are blessed, and God is glorified. Oh, that's a reason for celebration. That's a reason for worship. That's why we're here, my brothers and sisters. So as we think about the comparison of our great need and God's great grace, then we get to the question, so why should we fill ourselves with these fruit of the Spirit that we're going to be talking about? Well, as I said, verse 10 has some indications. It's one of the places we can find an answer to that question. So verse 10 starts out by saying, "You are God's handiwork." Some references say workmanship, and some say masterpiece. And have you ever thought of it when in the morning when you look in the mirror and you want to think, hey, you're some of God's best work. Yes, you are. You know, he's before you were born, don't you love that thought? Before we were born, he knew us, he molded us, and he made us. You've got your looks by his choice. You've got your gifts, your personality. He's given you circumstances that have molded you. That's all the hand of God. You are his handiwork. And I memorized this verse in a version that says, you're God's masterpiece. And I used to think that it meant that I was like God's Mona Lisa with a little Picasso thing going. But my pastor friend told me that that was a wrong interpretation. He said, because in that verse, the you in the original is plural. It's not you, Jolene, to hear. It's you all. It's all you all. It's all of us, the family of God. We together are God's masterpiece. And the word for handiwork, masterpiece there, is poema, from which we get our word, words for poem and poetry, which is a lot of words coming together and blessing people. In fact, theologian N.T. Wright says that it's more like a musical score. So as I look at you, what I see is a symphony. And some of you are playing oboes. Pete over there is playing his instrument. People are playing, you know, some of you are flutes, some of you are drummers. We're all different, but together we make this incredibly beautiful music, and it glorifies God, and it blesses other people. And it is just so exciting to be a part of the symphony with you. One thing that really excites me is that this group of people, these wonderful serve participants, are going to be making music all over Grand Rapids. This place is going to be better because of you and your faithfulness. So thank you for being here. But as verse 10 says, we are God's handiwork. It doesn't stop there. It says we are created in Christ Jesus. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reminds us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So for those of us who love Jesus Christ, who follow him, who've given him our lives, he recreates us. He just doesn't slap a new label on us or re-educate us or remodel us. No, he from the inside out, he recreates us. He opens our hearts up so that we can be filled with his righteousness. And one of the things I love to do every morning is I pray the whole armor of God over myself and my family. And when I put on that breastplate of righteousness, I realize it's Jesus' righteousness, not my own. Because he took my sin. He took the wrath of God. And he is the one who chose to give me his righteousness, to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. How beautiful is that? And not only that, he gives us the Holy Spirit to live within us. And we get to have new eyes and new appreciation. We get to see people in a way we've never seen them before. We get the Holy Spirit gives us the courage, instead of running away from trouble or when we see people hurting, we run to them. And in love, we use the fruit of the Spirit to encourage, to pray for, to give people hope. The Holy Spirit, and because why? We're in Christ. It's his characteristics, his grace, his personality that are living within us. And the reason we have that, and one of the things we're supposed to do in response to that then, is to do good works. What a high and holy calling. I don't know what good works he's called you to do. Whatever God has called you to do, it is a high and holy calling. You might not think so. But the opportunities that we have, I get to live at Raybrook. I know I don't look old enough to be there, but I'm the hot young chick. But I see so many people there give up. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't care how old you are. You still, if you can do nothing but sit and pray, boy, there's power in prayer. It doesn't take much to go to a neighbor and say, how you doing today? Those are good works. Those are powerful things. And we don't have to stand in pulpits. We don't have to lead companies to do good works. Whatever he's called you to do, give it to God, and he's the one who expands it, and then he gets the glory. And so don't let fear, because the evil one loves to use fear. God calls you to go and do something. You're like, oh, I just really don't have the ability. When Peter asked if I would consider being up here, I was like, are you serious? But you know, if God calls, he's going to equip. He's going to empower you. You're going to have every single thing you need. We need to be like Peter. When they're in the storm and he sees Jesus walking on the water and all the rest of the disciples are sitting in the boat and they're just scared out of their minds, like, it's a ghost. Peter in faith says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. And then Peter in faith steps out of the boat. And Peter gets to walk on the water. Now, he does sink, but he has. But there is always the prayer, Lord, help me, and immediately. See, serve participants, here's what I want to challenge you. I want you to be water walkers. I really have this vision of going over to Grand Haven and just walking over to Milwaukee. You know? Because we can do the impossible. I have had the blessing of serving him a number of years now, and I could stand up here literally the rest of the day and tell you example after example where God did the impossible. And I got to be a part of it. Why? Because I got out of the boat. Did I sink? Oh, yeah. Did he save me? Oh, yeah. But don't let fear keep you from doing the good works that God has called you to do. And because in the end of the verse, he tells us another reason we don't have to be afraid. He says, he's gone before us to prepare the way. This week, some of you might be really nervous about what you're going to be doing. You're going to be meeting new people. You're in small groups now. You don't know these people real well. But you know what? God's gone. He was preparing you for this week, this time. And he's going to do a mighty, mighty work through you. So serve team, my beloved Christian family in Jesus Christ, let's go boldly into this week. Let's go passionately. Let's go with a chosen desire to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit so that God will be lifted up. His kingdom will be built, and we can live a life of worship. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for making us alive by your amazing grace through faith in Christ. Thank you that we are your handiwork created in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the call to join you in doing good works that spread your love and grace. Thank you for going before us. Help us to live each day boldly committed to reflecting the love and the character of Jesus to all we meet. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So brothers and sisters, as you go from this place, go with these words of blessing ringing in your ears and comforting your hearts. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace this day and forevermore. Amen.